What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday to you. Wednesday. It feels like this week is just crawling by to me.
Really?
Yes. I thought all day yesterday was Wednesday.
Oh, you did?
Like, even till we did the show, and then I forgot that it was still Tuesday. And at one point, I asked my wife something about church, and she's like, I don't know, that's tomorrow. I said, no, it's Wednesday. She goes, it's Wednesday tomorrow. I have no idea what day it is. I know this. I'm just ready for this game to get
but
played.
But you didn't say it's the nexus to the nexus to the middle of the universe.
Well, I'll save that later because it is the middle of the week here on the show. Okay. I'll save that later.
That's how I know that it's Wednesday. See, you hadn't said that, so you give me little cues there that tells me, you know, it's kind of like when you give your dog cues.
I know.
To, you know, he's like, hey, it's time for you to feed me. Or right. It's time to let me out. Or
my dog goes and whacks her bowl with her hand when she wants food. If you don't have enough food, she whacks her bowl with her hand.
Oh, my dog comes and nudges me with his nose.
Well, mine's not that subtle.
Yeah.
He's kicking her bowl. Hey, Dad, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Ziggy.
It's either that or, you know, go outside.
I'm worried about my man because you said he had some dental issues. You said he had some issues with his chompers. My last dog had teeth issues. That's a sad thing when your buddy gets some teeth pulled.
Oh, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already had some teeth pulled probably, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, dang, how is he going to be chewing up food? He said, oh, don't worry. They don't have no problem chewing the food. I was like thinking I was going to have to get like soft, you know, dog food.
I think he needs doggy dentures.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Get him some fake teeth. Yeah. She was even saying, well, we might need to start brushing his teeth. I said, huh? I said, that's a good duty for my wife to do.
You're going to get it.
Okay. He'll sit there nice and still for her. Yeah, unless you put some food on that toothbrush, it's going to be...
Brush his teeth with bacon.
Yeah, it's going to be some issue. Yeah, man. Those Labradoodles must have those issues. I'm not sure because, he's had issues with his teeth back in the back. I'm like, dang, they're going to take his back teeth. All of them going to be out of it. He's just going to have front, you know, middle to front teeth.
Well, he won't lose his beautiful smile then.
Yeah.
He can still smile at you. Derrick Henry had a beautiful smile today. He spoke. Don't know if anybody was really expecting that. And then it was supposed to be coaches. And then I'm watching the stream like I normally am. I'm like, wait a second, Derrick Henry? And then sure enough, here comes that big rascal. It was interesting hearing him. I'll say this. At one point, he got asked, and I would say who asked it, but I can't remember, are you going to play on Saturday? And he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, Lucas and Buck played it, but I was watching his face. It was like,
well. And I was listening, and I didn't see what you saw.
He's like, well, I don't know. You know, we got to see how it goes. And I thought, all I could think of was this. It would be like if you interviewed a lion, and the lion was just sitting there like on the edge of the prairie.
So you had to see it.
You had to see his face. Yeah. And if you were like, hey, man, you about to eat that antelope over there on Saturday? And he's like, well, I don't know. I guess if I'm as fast as that antelope, yeah. But, you know, it's, I don't know. Still remains to be seen. The look on his face was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm about to eat that antelope and his family. I'm sorry, Pete, if you're listening, but this is like animals talking about eating animals. That's a circle of life. It's a Disney movie.
Oh, my. We're going to get in trouble.
All I'm saying is this. The look on his face. And I'll tell you what. We got this opening segment. Jordan Janney's going to join us. In the final segment of this hour, we'll just play the whole thing. Everybody can hear it all for themselves. So we'll play the Derrick Henry presser from earlier today.
It's about 8 minutes.
145.
Okay.
We'll play it in its entirety. It's about 8 minutes. You can hear the whole thing. But that dude just looked like somebody who knew a secret. Seriously.
And he just wasn't going to admit that that's what it was going to be.
And for anybody who wonders, I mean, if he were to have a setback, obviously that changes things. And I'm knock on wood. I'm just saying that. But when he speaks to the media on game week, after all this time, after no contact with anybody other than like the kids from the Boys and Girls Club telling him he was the Man of the Year nominee for the Titans. That's all we've seen of Derrick Henry. So him speaking to the media today says the lion is about to go after the antelopes out there. The antelopes just happen to be tigers this week. Bengal tigers.
Ooh. Good one. Wow.
But that rascal looked like, and I'm telling you this, and you're like, well, I mean, they still got a block for him. You got me back to reality.
Yeah, they still got a block for it.
Still got a block for it.
It's a team sport.
It is a team sport. I saw your tweet earlier. You had a very nice tweet, and I felt like you were maybe talking to some national media members. This was It's from the Twitter of Blaine Bishop, the hitman, at BBishop23. Some people need to understand that football is a team sport. That's why the best teams win, not always the best talent. Hashtag tighten up.
Right. Now, if you have the best talent, naturally, and you buy into being a team, they most likely win most of the time. But, you know, I was really kind of addressing just, you know, not getting the attention that they deserve. And they have earned the right to get that and being the number one seed, regardless of what happens in the game or not. So I don't know what's not sexy about the Titans. Maybe it's just their style. Maybe it's because Tannehill is viewed upon maybe the worst quarterback left. And the superstar guy, if Henry was here, maybe, you know, was for sure playing, which we think he will. But, you know, and hadn't missed so much time, maybe there would be a lot more talk and viewership about the Tennessee Titans. But guess what? It's like when you're in high school. If you're worried about what everybody else is saying, then they got you. All you need to do is worry about what's going on in your camp, and guess what? And that's putting a W in front of this game and every game on par. That eventually, you'll get to where you want to, where they have no choice but to talk about you. So, you know, I kind of look at it that way. You know, you worried about what other people say, then you'll never make it very far. People are always going to have their opinions and say whatever they want to say, from grade school, middle school, high school, college, pro, adult, office space. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
How much of the disrespect stuff, I know, because guys are just worried about their assignments, taking care of their own business. How much of that stuff, because we know this, even if the Titans win on Saturday, we're all going to watch that other AFC game on Sunday, and it's going to be the storyline of this is for the Super Bowl. Whoever wins this is going to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they're going to have the other team as the, you know, the team that's going to win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's the Bills or the Chiefs.
Sure.
If they're, you know, playing the Titans, yeah.
How much does that disrespect finally seep into a locker room where guys would be like, dang, man, where that might become, I know guys are motivated to play well because they're competitors, all the things that we talk about. But at what point just being completely ignored by the national media when you're the number one seed, you're in the final eight teams, at what point does some of that maybe seep into the locker room, that disrespect?
Well, I can't speak on this team because I'm not in their locker room, but I could, you know, speak upon our teams. And I think you're always listening. And so, you know, you're not really concerned with what they're saying, but you also understand their viewpoint and perspective is laying down the road of what everybody else is thinking. And so you have to go out there and prove it. And, you know, as an athlete, that's all you want, to have that edge. Mm-hmm. It's just to show, you know, we can go back to the Ravens time, you know, when they were the number one defense. Well, we were number one, too, in a lot of the categories, but nobody was talking about that. And, you know, and we could talk about how the game played out and we lost, but statistically, I think we still won based off of the yardage and everything else that was given up in that game. So what we said was, we're not going to be all about that yap, and that's that talking. We're going to all be about that action, boss. So it's all about the actions. People can say what they want to say, but when you go out there and you play football in between the lines, it's a different deal. So all that yapping don't do nothing but get me riled up. So I'm going to make sure I shut you up. Yeah, so that's kind of really it, where it's at. I mean, at the end of the day, guys say, okay, backs against the wall, let's go out here and show them why we deserve that kind of, you know, conversation and to be the number one seed. I think it seeps in. It's almost impossible, especially with the resources of social media today.
Right.
I mean, man, it's almost impossible, because you're going to go back, hey, man, you see what they were saying, man? They ain't even saying nothing about it. Now, you're not talking to the media, but you're getting, hey, man, it makes you focus a little bit more on little details and things of that nature. We're going to show them. You know, because that's all an athlete really needs anyway. You're always going to be at a point right now where you're in winning games and got to this point by, you know, your work ethic and everything else. Oh, I'm going to go back and watch the game from last year, even though it's two different teams. Still may find something out I didn't know last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, so some guys may not watch it all, may watch it just as cut-ups instead of an entire game. You know, cut-ups are when you're watching certain segments of their offense or defense. Let's say we watch just third down. We just watch red zone. They are cut up that way so you can just watch those, or what they do on first down, whether it's passing or running. So, you know, I'm interested to see what the game plan is going to be for the Titans to go against Burrow, because, man, I went back and watched the Raiders game for the second time, and they spread them out early in that game. And I feel like that's what they're going to do to the Titans, yep, because of what happened in the second half versus the Texans. And they kind of just dinked and dunked. And if they show patience, which I don't know if they will, early on, because this would be my game plan if I'm them. I'm going to be patient early on, dinking and dunking. We're going to be able to move the ball. Then, you know, the Titans are going to have to be really good in the red zone. Then you attack them maybe middle of the second and you start bombs away. I'm wondering what is going to be the game plan for the Titans now on defense. Because if you go with the front four and they're dinking and dunking, guys are going to start getting tired because they just start rushing. So then they're not going to, you know, be able to get after. So you're going to have to, I really believe, I watched him in an interview, Burrow, with Boomer Esiason. This guy is sharp as a whip. I really believe you're going to have to show him something and then do something else. And I don't know if you, maybe you change the game plan really quarterly, have a different game plan quarterly to go against this guy. He was talking about, I forgot who they were playing, but the Browns. They spread him out. He says they're going 1-on-1. I know the linebacker's running with the running back. And so he says, all I had to do was buy time so he would eventually get open. They're in the 20 and in, they were in the red zone. So you run, and he ran all goals. Mm-hmm. And he kind of named the play without saying the play. Mm-hmm. He says, all I had to do was just buy some time because I knew where I was going because eventually the linebacker can't run with him. And I'm thinking, well, dang, he's going to run out of space. There's no somewhere. He was like, nope. I'm still hitting him. So I locked in on him. So he saw initially. So you got to show him initially something that you're actually not doing and then change it. And I'm not saying every play, but all you have to do it is enough where he starts doubting and then your rush gets there. So do you show him too deep and then all of a sudden you're rolling to some zone form of blitzing scheme or, you know, man-to-man blitz scheme? I'm not saying you have to blitz him, but you have to do more than just a four-man rush and do some disguising and deception. Right. Maybe something you haven't even shown yet.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it, or haven't shown it in a long time. I feel like this guy's going to go all the way back and watch every game this year and knows everything that the Titans are doing. He's that kind of guy. Here's what another thing he said. We spread them out and nobody was open, but I checked to a draw. And he said, we didn't have that in all week. We didn't even plan to do it. But I saw that they had no linebacker in the field of play. They had nobody. Everybody was, it was nobody there. Right. He said, so I checked to a draw. Yeah. That's playing off ear, like just common sense.
Yeah.
That's what he did. And then he scores. Zoom. Like, man, okay. Can't show him what you're going to do. Kind of got to approach him like he's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady-ish, but with legs. And when I say with legs, because he can run. He can actually maneuver in the pocket. Pretty good.
And that's got the Titans some. Mm-hmm. Rod Taylor got him running in the pocket. Zach Wilson got him running around.
And he got him last year. Granted, different team, but it shows his capability.
He got him. Lucas says he's got us. All right, we got to take a break. Jordan DeGianni will join us on the other side. We'll talk all things NFL, what's going on with coaching hires, what's going on all over the league, what he's hearing about the Titans and Derrick Henry. We'll get into all that next on Blade and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Jordan DeGianni is going to join us here in just 1 second. We'll talk all things NFL with him. CBS Sports, our regular guest. Looks like we got him now. Jordan is on with us. Jordan, I got to ask you this. You're a young guy, but I've always seen this on your Twitter account. I don't think there's any evidence of it there now. I think we've even talked about this a little bit before. But what's the thing with you and Jim Croce, the singer-songwriter, who's been no longer with us for such a long time? What got you down that road as a young man on an artist like that?
Wow. I really appreciate this platform to talk about Jim Croce. In my opinion, Jim Croce is the best musician, songwriter that ever lived. I was completely intrigued and fell in love with his life, what he had to do to get up to fame. And once he got that top part of fame, he tragically died, and that's where his music carried on. I love his music. I love his stories. I think he's a good storyteller through the art of song. I love his music. He's my favorite musician of all time.
Wow. See, there you go. I'm more of a Kiss guy. They're not really noted as great storytellers, but they wear cool makeup and blow stuff up. So there you go. You're getting to know Jordan a little bit better. Jordan DeGianni, CBS Sports, who is our guest. So we heard from Derrick Henry today. After we finish this segment with you, we're going to play his entire press conference. It's funny. immediately, every sports outlet started running that. If anybody wonders who the star of this team is, look at the coverage and how different it is the day Derrick Henry just comes out and speaks to the media for the first time in a long time.
I love it, man. You're absolutely right. There's no mistake that Derrick Henry is the face of the Tennessee Titans. He's the engine that makes this offense go. We all know about that. But, you know, I love his quotes as well, you know, talking about we'll see how we ramp up. And he's got that smile on his face. I think everybody understands and believes that he's going to be suiting up against the Cincinnati Bengals for the first time in over 2.5 months. And, you know, everyone's excited to see him. And I think that's a big momentum builder for this Tennessee Titans team coming into this matchup. I mean, you're hosting a home playoff game. You had the first round bye. The city's jacked up. And all of a sudden you return a guy who's a legitimate MVP candidate last year and maybe even this year if he was able to stay healthy. That's amazing. That's huge energy that the Titans are going to have. I wonder if they're kind of ramping up for some big announcement when he's, you know, activated to the active roster or whatnot. I kind of thought that maybe Derrick Henry would announce today since he spoke to the media that he was going to play. But we'll see. But everyone's excited.
Well, when he gets introduced over here on the Cumberland coastline on Saturday afternoon, there may be some seats that come undone. Like the light fixtures may fall off the stadium. That may be the loudest it's been since a fellow named the Freak ran out of the tunnel for the first time in a long time after an injury a long, long time ago.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait for that moment. I'm going to be up there in the press box as well, so I'm ready for it.
Yeah, we are going to all be ready for it. Jordan DeShaney, we're always ready for his visit. CBS Sports, our weekly guest on Wednesdays here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Jordan, I have to ask you about Joe Burrow and what you thought about the Bengals playing the Raiders in their win over them, and your observations really of how the Titans' plan of attack should be to beat them come Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent win. I don't think I could give it an A+ since the Raiders almost came back. I mean, it literally came down to the final play. But overall, you look at why the Cincinnati team won, and in my opinion, it was because of Joe Burrow and this offense. It wasn't his most efficient day, 244 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jamar Chase, of course, ran wild in the secondary, 116 yards on 9 catches. The stat that really caught my eye watching this game was that the Bengals only punted one time in the first 3 quarters. And that's when, you know, taking that and applying to this matchup on Saturday, I think it's really going to come down to a great effort from this Titans defense if they want to advance to the conference championship game. That's not, of course, just only holding on to these wide receivers in coverage. It's also, you know, stopping Joe Mixon if the Bengals want to try to establish tempo that way. Joe Burrow is a very talented quarterback, and this offense is capable of explosive performances. So really, I'm looking at the Titans defense and what they can do to kind of smash this attack. And I think that's ultimately what happens. And I see Tennessee advancing to the next round.
Well, since the Bengals play the Raiders, let's ask you about the Raiders a little bit here. They got rid of their GM. Is the coach next? And who do you think is going to fill that shoe?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure about the GM. You know, that's obviously a search that just got started really this week. We started seeing some names come out. Bengals scout Trey Brown, I think, is one. Dave Ziegler from the Patriots. Ed Dodds is another guy, I believe, in that mix. Now, as for the head coach, I mean, that's where it kind of gets interesting. I know a lot of people want to talk about Harbaugh and if he's going to come back to the NFL. You know, I'm kind of looking at the Raiders position. Maybe if is that one that he's going to be interested in if they want to get involved in a bidding war against a team like the Chicago Bears or whatnot. That could be very interesting. And I bring that up because if I was a coaching commodity, whatever, I look at the Las Vegas Raiders as one of the most intriguing jobs because of where they're located. The NFL in Vegas is still very young. I would love to be the face of that franchise, bring it back to glory in one of America's most entertaining cities. So, you know, this coaching carousel is going to be very interesting. It's still a little early. We're starting to see interviews be done. We're starting to see some favorites rise to the top at some locations, but we do have some ways to go.
Well, I'm going to ask you, I have to ask you. We're on with Jordan DeGeni, NFL writer for CBS Sports, and that is, of the higher seeds left, who do you think has the highest chance of getting upset?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, let me pull up the schedule here. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, if you ask any national media, they're probably going to bring up the Titans. I feel like the Bengals could evolve starting today and tomorrow as to be a really sexy upset pick, much like the 49ers were in wild card weekend against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, that upset did end up coming to fruition. I don't think it comes to fruition in Tennessee. But when you look at some of the other seeds, you know, I got my eye on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. You know, they had no problem against the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't really have to have an incredible performance to down that team. I think they finished the year 0-7 against playoff teams. So, you know, they were the last spot in for good reason. But look at this Buccaneers team. Yes, they're going to return some running backs next week. Leonard Fournette likely, Ronald Jones maybe. But the wide receiving core, I want to see if some of these younger guys can step up without Antonio Brown there, without Chris Godwin there. We saw, you know, Tom Brady not be on the same page with some of these younger guys against the Eagles. Now, of course, they were able to still get the win, but when it comes down to those pivotal situations where you absolutely need a first down and the defense and the L.A. Rams is keying on guys like Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski, you're going to need one or two of those guys to step up. So I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on upset alert here in the divisional round.
How shocked were you or were you that the Rams just hammered Arizona and Kyler Murray and crew, man?
Yeah, so I got to say, I was happy because I had the Rams -4. I hit all my player props. We had the under, so we did really well there from a gambling perspective. But no, just in terms of the final score, yeah, that was pretty shocking. I expected the Rams to win, but not like that. Not where Kyler Murray threw for 137 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, some pretty bad ones as well. This Cardinals team floundered down the stretch. And, you know, I brought up, I think, last week, maybe on your show, was that the Cardinals had their worst defensive performance of the year in the regular season finale against the Seattle Seahawks. And what I've been writing on CBSSports.com is that's a huge red flag. If you see that, this team might be destined for an early exit, no matter, even though they look like the number one team in the NFL through some parts of the regular season. Sure enough, that's what came to fruition. They floundered down the stretch, and that's going to be something that we talked with Cliff Kingsbury about, you know, moving forward, being able to remain consistent through all the rigors of the 17-game regular season. That's probably something he's focused on now that he's in the offseason.
One more, and that is, you just talked about your gambling habits there on the side there about the Rams game here we're talking about. What? Give me, you know, I'm a novice. I don't gamble. So kind of explain to me, when you see the Titans are favored by 3.5, just take us through your thought process, being that you're the great gambler that you are with your big, huge house there that Vegas bought for you.
I appreciate that. I'm more average, definitely not great. If I was great, then I'd be all my attention on that instead of sports analysis, right? No, but, you know, I'll say this. Alan Bell, Sportsline, you guys know.
Yes.
He gave me a great stat about NFL playoff betting, and that's that I think it was coming into wildcard weekend, the last 30, I believe, NFL games, favorites won, or not favorites, but the team that won covered 26 out of 30 times. So that means if a favorite was winning the game, they were covering the number. And, of course, if an underdog wins, then obviously they're covering the number. So that was something really to keep in mind heading into last weekend. And sure enough, teams that won went 6-0 against the spread. So that's something I have in my mind heading into divisional round. But, you know, the 3.5 number is very funky. That's not something you necessarily always want to go all in on. But at the same time, if that stat that Alan Bell brought up rings true, then that Titans team should be able to cover the number. Hopefully it's just not by a field goal.
Well, okay, back to the 3.5. Don't most teams get 3 points? So to me, this is like a pick'em game if it was on a neutral site. That's kind of how I'm thinking. Is that wrong?
Yeah, that's usually the formula people have. It could be 2-3 points going to the favorites and in terms of home field advantage. So, yeah, I guess if you wanted to break it down that way, the Titans are favorites, but they're obviously not big favorites. If they were, this would be a 6-point spread or something like that, doubling what the formula would be for the home field advantage. So, you know, 3.5, everyone would rather have it, of course, at 2.5 or 3. That gives you room for a push. That gives you room for a game-winning field goal. 3.5 is going to be able to give some of the Sharps pause. And like I said, I feel like the Bengals might be a sexy upset for some of those big-time bettors. But at the same time, like I said, I believe the Titans are going to win. And using that formula, that stat that Alan Bell brought up, I have good reason to believe they can cover 3.5 as well.
Well, give me the final score with the Titans winning.
Yeah, I forgot what I wrote down for my picks. Actually, that'll be probably published tomorrow. But I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of like a 28-24, 27-23, somewhere around that 4-point win.
Gotcha.
That's probably what a lot of models are saying since that line is at 3.5. But, yeah, I'm going to be picking the Tennessee Titans to win and cover.
Well, with Jordan DeGeni, NFL writer at CBS Sports.
Jordan, I want to ask you a question about the greatest team in the NFL, the most talented, the greatest team maybe in NFL history. That's this year's Indianapolis Colts.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
I mean, they've got an MVP running back. If he doesn't win it, it's rigged. I mean, they've got 17 Pro Bowlers and 83 All Pros. I mean, they're just in the greatest head coach in history, the greatest GM, certainly the finest owner in all of football. We had George Brimmer on, who's a beat writer for them, and he was essentially saying, everyone has spoken, but no one, no GM, no owner, no coach, no one gave a vote of confidence to the quarterback. Is it conceivable they go out and try to find somebody to legitimately compete with Carson Wentz this offseason?
I do think that's possible, yes, because, you know, we talk about it all the time in terms of the quarterback position being the most important in football. You have to have that situated if you want to take the rest of your talented roster to new heights in your franchise. And that's what the Colts, you know, tried to do last year. They had to give up, you know, multiple picks for Carson Wentz, another conditional that turned into a first. But, man, after watching that regular season finale that took place in front of all those clowns, literally, I had to say literally, not that all the fans are clowns. But, yeah, I mean, watching that performance in a do-or-die game, yeah. Vegas had that line at, like, 15.5, and I took it. I was like, you know what? I know they haven't won in Jacksonville for so long. Vegas is on to something. Carson Wentz is going to step up and try to prove once and for all that he's the franchise quarterback. No, he completely flopped. And, you know, I think a lot, you put most of the blame on the loss on Carson Wentz and his inability, inaccuracy going downfield. It was gross to watch. So, yes, we already saw some of the quotes from, who was it? The GM and the owner talking about that Carson Wentz, you know, they're not really going to comment on his future kind of moving forward. It does seem like they are going to go out and at least try to bring someone in who's going to be able to compete with Carson Wentz. It's going to be really interesting to see what route they go, though. Is that a low price free agent? Is that the draft? That's kind of what I have my eye on right now.
All right. On the way out, does Mike McCarthy survive in Dallas?
That's a great question. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, he will. But I think it's something they really should be thinking about, because you have two coordinators who are some of the hottest commodities on the spinning coaching carousel.
Yep.
And if you really are a believer in Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore, I like Kellen Moore, honestly, you know, then you might consider making a move. With Mike McCarthy, man, the question is he going to be able to take the talent the Cowboys have and help them reach the Super Bowl, help them reach that next level of success? That's something that this front office is going to have to be asking themselves.
Yeah. Jordan, great stuff as always. People need to be following you anywhere they consume CBS Sports or at Jordan DeGianni. We'll get them there too. Go jam to some Jim Croce, and we'll hopefully be talking about another Titans win next week.
Appreciate
you,
Jordan.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. All right. Today, Derrick Henry spoke. He spoke at the microphone, answered questions, went through a bunch of stuff. You're going to hear all of that, everything he said today, next on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5.
The king has spoken.
Yes, he has.
Tannehill gives Henry on the right side. There he goes. 25-30, 35-40, 50-40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 76 yards. Derrick Henry, touchdown, Titans. That's getting something going.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Yeah, if anybody asks you, so what's the big deal about Derrick Henry? It's the fact that he can casually carry the rock 76 yards. That he is literally a big play running back, not a receiver who catches bombs, just a dude who takes a handoff and goes 75, kind of on the regular.
Yeah, 75 yards. Like, great Mike Heath there all day. Yeah, I mean, he's the, you know, the home run hitter. You know, the ladies love the long ball. Well, he definitely has the speed, and not only the speed, but the size to run over you, around you, through you, you name it, he can do it. And he was going down the road of showing he can also do it through the air.
Yeah.
Man, what a dual threat type quarterback. I mean, running back. And, man, it's going to be exciting times. I'm just hoping he's super sharp and he's right on top of his game. And when I say, you know, whenever I'm talking about Russ, I'm really talking about him just used to getting back out there and getting hit, ball security, high and tight, all the little bitty things, you know, that makes him special. Not, he never is going to forget how to run the football. that's going to come back easy. And then the psychology of that I am fully healthy, and once he gets tested on his foot in some form of fashion, whether it's planting real hard or getting tackled on his ankle and they're on his foot, mm-hmm. and then now all of a sudden now he has the confidence that I'm back and that it won't get any worse. It'll stay the same, and I'm fully healthy. There's a process here. So I don't know what the fans are expecting, but I think it's a play by ear by the coaching staff. We're going to have John Glenn on. I'm going to ask him that because I'm interested to see how do you play this. You start him and let him stay out there and see how well he is, whether he's running or pass protecting or going out for routes, and wait till he taps out to tell you he's tired. You know, all bets are off. You got to win or, you know, to stay in.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you go about this process, being a running back, and let him kind of dictate to you as the coaching staff that, you know, hey, I need to come out here or there, or do you just roll with him? Or do you have a rotation with Foreman? And I just don't know if that kind of works with Derrick Henry and his style.
Well, for the first time in a long time today, we heard from the Titans running back. This is all of the Derrick Henry news conference from earlier today in its entirety. The King has returned to the podium.
I'm just happy to be back playing football.
How did you feel after getting that extra contact in practice yesterday?
Say it again?
The extra contact that you got in practice yesterday, how did you respond to that? How do you feel after that?
Oh, yeah, I felt great. You know, just wanted to get some pads on, haven't had them on in a while, and get some contact going in. I appreciate those guys coming over to help me do that, and yeah, definitely felt good.
Derrick, what would be the toughest part of, you know, this whole rehab return to play process, and maybe what helped you get through that?
No, I love football. I mean, it's all I've done since I was 5 years old, and you know, it's what I fell in love with. And, you know, it's the first time something like this has happened. And, you know, just adversity, and you just got to overcome it. And thankful for the trainers, my girlfriend who was driving me here 5 weeks straight when I couldn't drive. And, you know, everybody that, you know, supported me, Titans fans wrote get well letters. I definitely appreciate that. And, just having faith in the man above, and you know, just continue to rehab, continue to get healthy, and you know, being able to have this opportunity right here.
Pretty much indestructible, Derrick. You know, for the first several years, the fact that this injury has something to do with wear and tear a little bit too. You know, is that cause for concern looking forward in terms of the amount of carries and so forth, and the load that you can deal with going forward?
No, I don't think you worry about that. I mean, it's football. It's a game of injuries. Injuries happen. And, you know, you just got to keep pushing forward. And everything happened for a reason. You know, I don't try to get into all the what-ifs and this and that and this. Just focus on the right now, and appreciate the journey. And that's all I can do.
Like you can pick between your feet that right now in terms of cutting right, cutting left, planting, how close are you to the same on each side?
I feel good. I mean, I have a big steel plate on my foot. That's only different from the left foot to the right. But, I mean, I feel good. Just, you know, I haven't did anything like 2.5 months. So, you know, just getting back out there, getting acclimated to everything, and, you know, getting back to being me.
You think you can kind of pick up where you left off? I mean, you haven't played the preseason a lot, so I know people talk about rust. Do you feel like you can kind of step back in and be the Derrick you were at the start of the season?
Well, I mean, it all starts out here in the practice field, and you know, doing everything I can to be ready for Saturday, and that's where it starts. Just trying to work hard, trying to do the best I can to, you know, be the best player I can be for this team, and try to contribute as best as I can. But you know, the work starts out here like it always does.
How impressed have you been with the job that they've been able to do without you, Derrick, to get to this point, to get the number one seed?
Oh, I was definitely the biggest cheerleader. You know, it was fun watching them, you know, while I missed playing with them, but did a great job. Guys stepped in, guys who were hungry did a great job running the ball. And, you know, overall as a team, they did a great job as well. And for us to have number one seed, get a bye week, and then come into the division around, against a good opponent.
What about from a mental standpoint? Where are you there? Because I know that's a big part of that recovery process from the injury.
Back playing football. You know, that's all it is.
You feel like you'd be ready for it?
We ain't gonna get into all that, but whatever I can do to help, you know, I'm always for it.
Take up defense, and what kind of challenge do they present? They've been good against a run this year.
Yeah, they did a great job this whole year, and watching them against the Raiders, I felt like they did a great job. I know they got a couple guys that went down, but overall, you know, they're physical, penetrators. linebackers. They play very well, experience in the back end. They, you know, do a great job blitzing, fast, try to get the ball out, and got a great experience. A lot of guys who played together for a couple of years, so we got our hands full and got to prepare for them this week.
Do you think there's something to taking the first hit on it in a game?
All these questions. I mean, I'm not really focused on that. I'm just ready to go out there and play. If you sit there and focus on all that, then you're not going to be yourself.
Advantage, Derek, to maybe having fresh legs, you know, not having played, not having had wear and tear for the last 3 months. Is there a benefit to that going up against, you know, maybe guys who've been playing week after week?
Well, I would think anybody who hasn't played in 2 months will, you know, feel, you know, pretty good about their body and where they're at. So,
Derek, you mentioned the adversity you've been going through this last several months. How difficult was that mentally for you? I know you said it was fun watching the Titans play and do so well, but also, how difficult was that watching your team and being away from your organization?
It's always hard when, you know, you go down with an injury and, you know, the season's still going on and you love football, you want to play, but, you know, just got to work through it. And it's always going to be tough times, you know, when something like that happens, but, you know, what don't break you makes you. So that's the mindset I had, is just continue to rehab, get better, do the best I can to get back on the field.
Also mentioned your support system, how grateful you were to them and for everyone that kind of supported you through these last couple of months. How often did your teammates reach out to you, and how much did you feel that support from your team?
Oh yeah, they reached out to me every day. Whoever it was that texted me before each game and just checking up on me, I definitely appreciated that. And you know, my teammates are like family, so I definitely appreciated and was rooting for them while I was trying to get back.
Did you get a lot of letters? You mentioned letters from fans. Did you get a lot of support mail, and did you read a lot of it?
Yeah, I got a pretty good bit of them, and I definitely appreciate it for them taking the time out to send love and send good well wishes. Got some of the best fans in the league, and definitely, you know, it was heartfelt messages, and I definitely appreciate it.
What was it like there? You know, back when it first happened, like you said, you've really had no injuries. How kind of shocking was it not only to learn you'd been hurt, but that you might be out for such an extended period of time?
Yeah, it was definitely shocking. You know, like I said, this has never happened to me my whole career. So it was just, you know, I was like, well, you know, can't do nothing about it now. Try to, you know, get surgery and start the recovery process. Try to get back as quick as I can.
So you expect to play on Saturday?
Do I expect to play?
Yeah.
See how this week goes, and we'll see where I'm at on Saturday.
How about the opportunity that this team has, being the number one seed, with an opportunity to do something that's, you know, never been done around here? How much are you guys looking to hopefully take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, you know, we definitely know it starts out here, and continue to get better on all three phases, compete, and then get ready for Saturday. But we have a big opportunity in front of us, and we want to make sure we stay focused every day in the meetings, in the practice field, and then let it lead to Saturday.
That last one, last year, when you had a home game chance, how much did that sit with you at the end of that promising season?
Yeah, you know, not really try to focus on too much of last year. You know, that's in the past, but we came up short last year, and definitely want to do the right things this year so that doesn't happen.
Alrighty. Derrick Henry, first time, long time, Blaine, since we've heard from that guy. You know, the difference in now and whatever, he's like, well, I mean, I do have a big metal plate in my foot.
He was being nice.
I mean, there's a giant metal plate in my foot.
But I can't carry it, you know. Right. I can carry it in my foot. Sure, with everything else or any people that want to go along for the ride.
Right. I mean, the only difference is just the giant metal plate in my foot. Y'all are just different, man. Football players. Yeah, I mean, I've got a metal plate in my foot, you know. Like you, the doctor, tapping you on the shoulder going, hey, man, your arm's broken. No, man. Yeah, your arm's broken, Blaine. No, it's just got a knot. It's because it's broken. Yeah, it's broken, Blaine. No, I'm fine. Y'all wired different. Y'all and hockey players, all kinds of different. Yeah, different.
You know, it was always interesting. I keep hearing this analogy, I guess, and it makes sense, but I don't agree with it, that, oh, you never play preseason, so you should be fine. Guess what? In preseason, he's practicing every day preparing to play football.
when you injured, you are not practicing to play football. You aren't actually injured, and you're doing all rehab things. And until these last 2 weeks, has he actually been practicing?
Yeah.
And then, as he referenced, with pads.
Yeah.
So that it is different. So granted, as much as he hadn't been playing, he was preparing for football the whole time. In this instance, he was preparing to rehab.
Yeah.
So that's not to say he won't be the same guy, but that's not the same analogy there. It's not the same. You're practicing every day. You're getting stronger. You know, whatever they had him doing instead of actually going through, you know, getting tackled and practice or thudded up or whatever it may have been. But it's a little bit different. When you're coming back from an injury, only thing you can compare it to is coming back from another injury. That's it. And it doesn't even have to be the same injury. It's just an injury. The process is horrible. You feel like you're not part of the team. Yeah. Regardless of how much they come in there, the players, coaches, and everything else, you're just kind of separated. It's not a good feel. You feel like you're just – and someone kind of asked the question, but how did you feel, I would want to know, Henry, is – when the team was having so much success, and I think they asked it, but I would have been a little more direct, and they were still winning without you.
Yeah.
Well, that means that show can go on. So that, guess what that put in his brain? The show can go on without the king. May not be as good, but right. It can keep him moving. That train don't stop.
Well, I know he's ready to get back on that
so
train.
So that might be firing him up, too.
Oh, he seems
pretty fired I'm up. Different than them. Let me show you why.
Woo! King!
And guess what? Titans Tonk, I think, said it. And we got Kong on the other side of the ball. Simmons is Kong, and we got King on the offense. So King Kong will show up on Saturday. I like it.
On the zone. Hey, JR, Corey, hold. I know, Corey, you've been holding. When we start the first segment, we'll jump right on. We'll take some phone calls. Anybody else wants to jump in? Mark Spain, Real Estate Hotline, wide open, 615-737-1045.